Man, wasn't that great? Great message in that great song, and well done. Been looking forward to coming to Sand Hill. Feel right at home here with you. You folks see some new faces, but Sand Hill will always have a place in my heart. We've been down here with you a couple of times as interim pastor and enjoyed both times being with you. A lot of things have happened since then. I've got married again. And my wife, Carol, is with me this morning. Carol has roots here in Sand Hill. She was saved here as a little girl, Sand Hill. Amen. And her father came out of this church as one of the preachers that you all have produced here. So Mr. Brother Thurman Carnes, her father, and many of you, I'm sure, knew him. And so she has ties here at Sand Hill, and I couldn't come this morning without her coming, so she wanted to be here too, and I'm glad she did. Yeah. What happened last night? We, besides the rain, we got an hour less sleep, didn't we? So you're sleepy this morning. And if you go to sleep, it's not your fault. And see, that clears me. It won't be my fault either. So I was reading in the paper that something happens in our inner body, inner clocks. They get disturbed, interrupted, and get out of kilter at daylight saving time. So it takes a while to get adjusted. And so we began it on Sunday morning in church. And so why don't we just all go ahead and get our yawning done at one time? You know. Now we all feel better. Maybe we'll go to sleep. Oh, my text this morning, as you see in the bulletin, Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I'm shut up, I cannot go to the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. really want in his room. And I wonder why. Well, I didn't. He can go around there and say, take the phone director out. Why take the Bible out? Come on, I'll take the motel director, which has where you get the ice and vent the machine gun. Why don't I take that one out? But no, he chose to take the Bible out. As if to say, I cannot stay in this room with the Bible in it. Well, I'd be afraid of it. You're treating it as if it were a poisonous reptile. A dangerous book. Can't have it in my room. Recently I read, I don't know where the school was or is, but there is a school, there's a school, and there are Christian teachers in the school. Well, the Christian teachers got together. They said, you know, these children need to be taught the Bible. They need to be taught. And they're not getting, they could sense that they weren't getting any teaching, the way their behavior and so on, their words and music. And so they got together and talked about what could they do to help these children get taught the Bible. And so they knew they couldn't do it on school time, on school calendar. They couldn't do that. And so they decided to go off campus and start a Bible study for children who wanted to come. They didn't want to force them. It's announced, and lo and behold, they had a number of children to come. They were coming to hear the Bible talk. Well, you know, the devil's organization got a hold of the ACLU. They got a hold of it. They didn't like it. And they took it to court and stopped it. And when a representative of that organization was interviewed, here's what he said. He said, our children should not be taught that terrible book. That was his word. Terrible book. You know, ever since I can remember my growing up days, I don't remember Christian or non-Christian referring to the Bible as a terrible book. I've heard it said, the Bible called the good book by Christian and non-Christian, the good book. But why has it become a bad book? You would never think it would happen in our country. But it has. Now, you know our forefathers were godly people for the most part. Whenever they came over stormy Atlantic. A lot of times ship didn't make in those days. So this one did, Maple Owl. And I read where during the real stormy times that these people that were on that ship would go in a compartment and they had to stand stooped because the ceiling was so low. But during those times, they sang from this book. They sang songs from this book. They believed it. And when they got to shore, they dropped on their knees and thanked God, the God of heaven, that they got there. And we know what happened the next year. They had a big Thanksgiving to God. And our forefathers believed that the Bible should be taught, that it had the words for a direction for life, the words. is what happened here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. God's mouthpiece. The people of Judah had rebelled and sinned against God. And Jeremiah the prophet kept warning them of the judgment that was coming. Told what it was, who it was that was coming to get them. It was the Babylonians. And he told them that they would not repent. But there were some of them, when God instructed Jeremiah to write words of judgment to the people, Jeremiah couldn't write, so he got his secretary Baruch to write it. But God gave Jeremiah the words to say to Baruch, who wrote that. He wrote it. And it was read to the church of religious leaders. And we're told that when they heard it, they were afraid. They were afraid. And that's why I call, well, I call them not today by the Bible. Because, you see, the Bible will disturb you. If, you know, you read the Bible, it will disturb you. And I believe that that's why many people don't want to read it, because when you read it, it's going to locate in you something wrong. If you're sinning in your life, it's going to locate it. You're going to be uncomfortable with it. Sometimes I wonder if this was not a problem with Madeline O'Hare. I don't know. But I wonder if it was. You know, she was so much against the Bible and so much against it being in our school that she took it to the Supreme Court and won. And I wonder if her children going to public school were coming over there, Mama, we were read the Bible today, and they could tell her something that was in it. And it disturbed me. You know, we don't like to be disturbed. We don't like to be uncomfortable. And so if the Bible makes us uncomfortable, we don't read it. But it will make you uncomfortable. The king later on, Josiah's son, later on was read the word from Jeremiah. You know what he did? As it was read, he took his penknife and cut every page from that roll and threw it in the fire. It burned. As if to say, I don't believe that stuff. I'm not going to listen to that stuff. And if I cut it up and burn it, it doesn't apply to me. Now I wonder how many people who say, I don't believe the Bible, therefore it doesn't apply to me. How many, I'm sure atheists say that. They say it's a fairy tale book. And if I don't believe it, whatever it says in it don't apply to me. What if there are those who say, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Buddhist? So I say, that's my faith. So we're not going to get away from the judgment that the Bible talks about by saying I don't believe it. Or just going to apply. No. The Bible hurts sometimes. The Bible will grip you sometimes. The words will grip you. Now, I'm about to tell you a story, personal story. I'm going to tell you the personal story. Now, I've never told this publicly. Okay? I've told it to one or two people. Right. But I've never told you. You're the only church that's ever heard of this. Okay? And the reason I don't tell is because I fear that there will be some who may say, well, I haven't had an experience like that. A lot of times with your testimonies, we say, oh, I haven't had nothing like that. You know, you can read in the Bible of Paul, how the light came down upon him without having had an experience like that. And God doesn't demand that we have an experience. All he demands is that we come to the point of where we know that we're not right with God and get right. We're going to get right somehow. Yeah. When I was growing up, we were not a church going family. We used to go. My parents used to go. I went as a young boy, a junior boy. I went to Bible school, went to Sunday school, went to Trade Union. I was in the junior part, back then, an intermediate part, some of you remember those days. And joined the church, baptized. In my teen years, I became a wild teenager. I'm proud of it, but it did. I was living in sin, thought the world away was the right way to go. I was having a big time. And I don't remember what age I was, about 16, 17, 18 maybe. I walked in the house one day and I saw something I thought I'd never see. And it struck me. My father sat there reading the Bible. Didn't I really ever struck me? Well, I passed on by and interrupted me. And about two or three days later, I walked in the house and there he sat again reading the Bible. And I thought to myself, I said, if my father is finding something in there that interests him, if he's finding something in there to read about that's good to him, then maybe I ought to read it. And so one day I went in and I picked it up. Now, I didn't know where to read. I didn't know there was a New Testament, Old Testament. I didn't know about books of the Bible. I didn't know about that. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know where to read. But the Lord knew where I needed to read. And I turned to the Gospel. And I began reading of Jesus and him talking about him coming again. And the things are going to happen just prior to his coming. And I read about his death, burial, and resurrection.
with God. And I didn't know what to do about it. That was a hard thing about it. I just, what in the world am I supposed to do? I'm not right with it. And I don't know what to do about it. I know he's coming. I believe he's coming. So much so I believe that one night I dreamed that he was coming. I could hear the roaring and I could see the stars falling as he had said in his word. I read that. I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know who to talk to.
Well, went on, got married. A little boy came along. And I kept reading. I remember reading the story of Moses and his leading the Hebrew people out of Egypt. And all by that time, the Ten Commandments in the feet was in the air. And I wanted to see it so bad. And we got Sue, my older sister, to keep our baby. And we went to her shop to see that movie. And I was filled with that. I took every bit of that. I didn't drink. I don't think I took it in. And the more I looked, I said, there's a man, there's Moses. He's right with God, and I'm not. How did he get right, Moses? How did you get that near to God? That's what I want, but I don't know how to do it. So we went home, and we went by to pick up the baby. Sue went in to get it. And I stood as long as I could. And I just bent over the steering wheel. And I said, God, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to do this. And I said, right here and now, the best I know how, I give my life to you. He felt like that act loose. He knew what I wanted. He knew the passion. He knew that I needed him, and he knew how to do it, and he did it. He came into my life that night and saved me. Because I read the book, and the book disturbed me. The book bothered me until I said yes. And that's the reason why people are afraid of it, because it might drive them to do something. But I will always be grateful for this book that I was reading and told me that I needed God. Told me I was not right with God. I was not ready for his coming. But thank God I am now.
Amen.
Because he's now, I say, now I can take this book and I can read the 23rd Psalm and just enjoy it. I can read, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can read and enjoy reading. And now, there are times whenever I mess up. And I read, he'll convict me of it. But I know what to do about it. I know confess my sin. And I'm glad to read that John says if we confess our sins, he'll be faithful. whatever you've done. Lord, now, it wasn't like exactly like this, but if you came to the court, you said, I need the Lord in my life. You may be dealing with that right now. It is, you need to come. Say, yes, Lord, I come to you, confessing my sin and confessing my need of you, and I give my life to you now. You come.